Well, amen. Well, I'm glad to be here with y'all tonight. It's been a blessing all today. Again, just to be able to go with you. I wasn't able to go with some of y'all to lunch today. And man, the Lord's really just helped me throughout today. Just been with us. And even tonight as I came in here, man, the Lord's presence is real in this place. You can't always say that by every church you walk into. But man, I come in here tonight and man, the Lord is just here. I'm thankful for that. Again, my name is Ethan Dunaway. Back there's my beautiful bride, Kayla. We are from Lighthouse Baptist Church in Abbeville, South Carolina, and we are missionaries to the country of Albania. And the easiest way to be able to find Albania on a map is it's basically right beside Greece. So if I could tell you anything about my family or about me or my wife, I feel like the most important thing I could ever tell you is our testimonies. I was around 12 or 13 years old at the time. I didn't write down the date, so I don't know exactly how old I was or the exact date of my salvation. But I remember one morning I was blessed to be able to go to a Christian school in my local town. And while I was on the way to school one morning, my brother was driving his truck. And on Highway 72 in Abbeville, South Carolina, the Lord came by and sat down beside me. And we had been going to church for a few months at that point, or maybe close to a year. And the Lord came by and said, remember how you heard about sin and how you had heard about a place called hell? He said, that morning he came by and said, you're the sinner. He said, you're the one that's on the way to hell. He said, your sins will put you in hell. And I remember sitting in that truck that morning on Highway 72 in Abbeville, South Carolina. I said, Lord, will you save my soul? And he did, right there on that highway. And my wife had a similar testimony to you because she was also got to be able to go to a Christian school there in her county. I grew up in South Carolina. She grew up in Georgia. But there, as she went to school, it was one morning on a Wednesday morning chapel service. A man got up and preached, and she went out to the altar and got saved that morning. So the Lord really started putting missions on my heart. And the more I looked at it, it was even before I was even saved or really even in church. I remember as a kid, I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. And I remember going to a family gathering. And I remember sitting there, and this was on my other side of the family, people I didn't really know as well. But I remember even as a kid, one of my family members was going on a missions trip. I remember even sitting there and saying, man, one day I would like to do that. One day I would love to be a missionary. And again, I had no idea about God. I really wasn't in church at that point. I had no idea what I was saying. But even then, my heart was, man, I would love to do that one day. So then we fast forward to about a year after I got saved, roughly around that time. And I remember I was at church one Wednesday night, and we had a missionary there, Brother Daxel Wells. I asked that you be praying for him. He actually was just back in the United States. They figured out that his mom had brain cancer. Well, she just passed away a few days ago. So he's technically back in Albania now. So just be praying for their family as they're going through this hard time with loss. As I think they're going to try to take a trip back over their whole family so they can go to the funeral and do things like that. So we asked you to be praying for his family during that time. But Brother Daxel Wells was at the church that night, and my pastor asked him to come down, a few men to come pray with him. And I remember I was sitting on the front row on the right side, and the Lord came by and sat down beside me. He said, look over there to where they're praying at. And I remember looking up, and I looked over to where they were praying, and he said, I want you to go to the same place he's going to. So I want you to go to Albania. Man, the really Lord started working on my heart about going to the country of Albania, put it on my mind. And I remember in 2018, I was able to take my first trip over to the country. And as we went over to that country, I said the most important thing that happened is, man, the Lord started working on my heart. And I remember one morning I was riding in a van with my pastor, and he started telling us a story about a city called Geocoster. He said, while we were there in Geocoster, they said they were handing out tracts. It was him and about three other men. They're handing out tracts in this city, and they said they handed one tract to one lady and said what they did not know at the time was they were right outside one of the big Muslim temples there in Geocoster. But said they handed out that tract to that lady and said she had got that tract and turned around and went to those people and those men and that thing, because that's where she went to, and gave them that tract and basically told them they're preaching the gospel. And said that as they're handing out tracts, a few of them went to a few different stores right there and said, my pastor had come out, and he said those men were all gathered outside of that temple, and they were pointing to all the different stores that those men were in. So my pastor went and basically went to every single one of those men and said, don't look, don't turn around, don't do anything. He said, just walk straight to the car and don't stop. And he said he went to every store and told those men. He said as they were leaving town, those men followed them all the way out to their car, presumably to kill them. Said that as they even got into the car and they started driving away as quickly as they could, said those men started following them down that hill. And I remember hearing that story, and I mean, I thought, that's scary. I don't know what I would do in that situation. But then that same God who had come by a few years ago and told me that I was lost, and the same God who came by and sat down beside me and told me to go to Albania, came by and sat down beside me, and he said, that's where I want you to go. I said, that's it. And the Lord had given me this verse when he originally called me, Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And at the time, again, in my mind, I was only, again, 13 or 14 years old at that point. I said, why would God give a verse about a kid to a kid? I said, that makes no sense to me. Why would God give that? But he told me, and as he called me to Albania, because he gave me that verse a little bit before he called me to Albania, he said, there's people over there that need to be saved. He said, the young Christians, he said, I need somebody that's willing to go and train them up. So I went again, and in 2021, we were able to take the second trip, and my wife was able to come with us that time, and we were able to go to the city of Geocoster. And as we went there, man, the Lord just worked in my heart. And I remember while we were there that morning, at that point, I did not have a verse. I was praying, saying, Lord, will you give me something? Because I knew the Lord already had my heart there in Geocoster, and later on, he gave me Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent? He said, I'm sending you there. He said, this is where I'm sending you. But that morning, I remember we had gone up and we sat down in a restaurant. And this might be weird to y'all, but this is just how my life goes. I was sitting there at the table and I remember just praying, thinking, Lord God, will you give me something? Something, tell me something here. Will you give me a verse? Will you show me something that let me know this is where you want me to be? And I remember as I sat there, you don't really drink their tap water there, but as I sat there, I saw a cup. I literally just prayed this prayer, and a cup sat down over top of me with a bottle. And the bottle said, the living water for a thirsty soul. The only place in Albania that we know that this water exists is in the city of Geocoster. So as soon as that bottle sat down from me, he said, this is where I want you. He said, there's a lot of thirsty souls here, and they need the living water. So what our goal is just to do exactly what God told us to do, which is train up the young children of God there in Albania. So we're going to go to Geocoster. We're going to start a church there, and we might do more than that. We might start a school or Bible college. Whatever God wants us to do there in the city of Geocoster, that's what our plan is, just to preach the gospel to those people and tell them that somebody truly loves them. Man, one thing that's hard to see about the Albanian people, and I'll finish here talking about this, is those Albanian people, they're very, they look on themselves very poorly. One of the main questions you usually get asked of, especially when you're talking to an Albanian about going to go there, to move there, is they look at you and say, why would you want to come here? So, why would you want to come here? Because their mindset is that if there's any way possible they can leave the country, that is their goal. They have colleges there, and what happens is as they grow up, they try to save enough money for their kids to go to college. They get a good job, and as soon as they can basically get a college education, they move out of the country to another country so they can make or be successful. So when you walk up to them and say, and because their mind's goal is if we can get to America, we can have all of this. So they look at you and say, why would you move from America to Albania? They look so poorly on themselves. But then that translates to the gospel too, because you go up to them and say, can I tell you that there's somebody that loves you? What do you mean they love me? I don't even love me. I don't even like me. What are you talking about? And they look so poorly on themselves. But yeah, I have a chance to be able to go over there and say, hey, I know it might be rough, but there's somebody that truly loves you. So that's what our goal is just to be able to go over to Albania and preach the gospel to those people there. And just for a few minutes tonight, if y'all are okay with it, we're going to look at Mark chapter 11. We're reading through this idea. This is what I was praying this morning in case I did preach about what the Lord would have me preach, and this is what he put on my mind. Again, Mark chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 1. Mark chapter 11 and verse 1. Mark 11 and verse 1. And the Bible says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered in it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereof never man sat. Loose him, and bring him, and if any man say unto you, why do ye do this? or why do ye this? And this is kind of where I want to take the main idea of what we're looking at. This is where God started working on my mind about this text. Is in this phrase right here, say, in verse 3, at the end of it, saying, "Say ye that the Lord hath need of him." Say ye, the Lord hath need of him. So just for a few minutes tonight, I want to look at this idea, the Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for one more time allowing us to be in your house tonight, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, that not one word that comes out of my mouth would be for me. Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, that you'd put me down to the lowest I could be so you'd be able to be high and exalted and lifted up, Lord God. But we ask you, Lord God, that your word, Lord, would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we ask you just to help us tonight. We love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I'm so thankful to be able to be saved, to be yours, Lord God, and I'm thankful for all you've done for us. Help us tonight. Lord God, touch my mind and my mouth, Lord God, as I try to say what you give me, Lord God. But, oh God, we just speak through me tonight. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. In your name we say amen. This idea of the Lord hath need of you. And as I began to study this idea, and again, that phrase stuck out to me, is that they had need of this colt. So, well, what's interesting about that phrase? What's interesting about that idea? Well, we know that God is in need of nothing. There's nothing that we could give God. It's not like we could sign a check out to God and say, well, God just needs a loan, or God needs a little bit of money, or he needs some land. No, he owns it all. So I found it peculiar in this situation. Why would God say he has need of this colt? What made this colt so special that God needed it? Because as we know, man, God could have had a colt born and raised right exactly where he needed to. It could have been waiting there for him. God could have had an angel deliver him a colt. God could have had many different ways to be able to get exactly what he needed there, but for some reason, he had need of this colt. And for the same reason God had need of this colt, I want to see why the Lord hath need of us. So I just want to look at for a few minutes tonight about the idea of being able to be used by God. And if I could, just by a raise of hand or whatever it is, how many of us tonight wants to be able to be used by God? I know in my life, I want to be used by God. If anything, I'm nothing, I'm low of the low, but I'd rather God just use me in whatever way he wants to being used by God. But every person here can be used by God if we simply follow these steps that we see that the colt went through for God to be able to use him. We have to see there's some basically preparational steps that this colt had to go through, because as we read through, and we'll read through the rest of the verses in just a second, this colt was not immediately used by God. There's a few steps of preparation that had to happen before this colt was used by God. But this idea of the Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of you. So the first step that we're going to see here, and we'll read through the rest of the verses real quick, and as it goes through in the end of verse 3, it says, "Why do you say this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And a certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go." And we'll get back to that in a second. I want to go back to that idea. "And they'll let him go." It says, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him." And we're reading right here. And he says, "And he sat upon him." So the first step, say, how am I going to be able to be used by God? Say, preacher, I'm here tonight. I want to be used by God. How do I start saying that right now? I want to be used by God. Well, the first thing, the first step, if you're ever going to be able to be used by God, is there has to be a step of a change. So what type of change are we talking about here? Well, let's read back in verse 4. And it says, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him." And as I began to study this, and as I began to look to see what these preparational steps were, we see that there had to be a step of a change in this colt's life. And I want to look at it from the colt's perspective for a second here. We're going to look and see that as they went, there's a colt that's tied up, presumably to a fence, maybe a sign, whatever it was, but this colt was tied up there at the way where two ways met. And at some point, the master of this colt came by and tied him up there. And that's where that colt was placed. And as that colt was placed there, you see him day in, day out. Even talks about how this colt had never man sat upon. So presumably from birth, this man had raised this colt. And as he had gone through, it was the colt's day in, day life to be tied to this area to be able to do what that master told it to do. But it was not, or he was not able to be used until there was a change in his life. So what change happened to that colt? Well, all of a sudden, the first thing that happened to have this guy to be able, or this colt to be able to be changed, was there had to be a God that was willing to say, I have need of him. He sent two men that way to the colt. And could you imagine, again, looking from this colt's perspective, as those men come their way, they look at that colt and they see him tied to this post or tied to this sign, and they know a way to be able to loose him from all their things because Jesus has need of him. Say, why does any of that matter? How is that a step of change? Because the thing is, the first thing you're ever going to be able to do to be used by God is there has to be a change. Because I remembered as I started looking into the story, God started reminding me a lot of my story. Started thinking, man, there was a day in my life where I was tied up to this world. And the master of this world told me day in and day out what to do. But yet it was not till God looked and said, man, I have need of him. God said, boy, do you see Ethan over there? He said, man, I love him. I need him. I need him. And then all of a sudden, before it happened, you know what happened in that story? Two men got sent his way. Well, man, I had a preacher come my way and say, hey, you don't have to be tied up to that pole no longer. So if you want to, you can be free. So what's the first change that happened to happen in this colt's life for it to be able to be used by God? It had to be set free. It had to be changed. So how am I going to be able to be used by God tonight? You have to be saved. You're never going to be able to be used by God if this preparational step is not done. If you are not saved, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to be used by God. You have to be His tonight. So there's a step of a change. The first thing to be able to be used by God was a step of a change. And the second step that we're going to look at here was not only was there a step of a change, there was a step of a choice. Step of a choice. And before we go into this, I want to give you this kind of illustration just to show my ideas of what happened here. Again, we look that God has need of nothing. He does not need something, but yet he had a need of this colt. Say, why was this colt needed? And the Lord brought it up into my mind. I started thinking about my wife, and as we had started to talk, again, I was about 15 years old when I first met her. We were at a teen camp together and we had started to talk. And we dated for about 5 or 6 years. But throughout that time, I remembered as I met her and I started to talk to her and we started to develop a relationship. Man, I was like, man, well, I like spending time with her and she likes spending time with me. And it was good. And there was times where I thought, well, man, I want to call her today and I want to talk to her today and I want to spend time with her. But then there was a change in my life because one day I went from, man, I really want to talk to her to, man, I really need to talk to her. Man, I really need her in my life. Man, I really need to marry her. Man, I can't live my life without her. And the thing is, say, why did God need this colt? Because there's a day and a time where God looked down and said, man, I love him. God could do everything that he wants to do without us, but yet he looked at us and said, I love them, and I love them so much that I want them. And not only do I want them, I need them. I need them to do it. He said, God could use anybody at any point to share the gospel. God could use his own ways to do it, but yet he loved us so much, he looked at us and said, I need you. I need you. So there was a step of a change, but not only was there a step of a change, we see that there was a step of a choice. Again, we're reading in verse 4. It says, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And we'll look at that two ways met. So again, we're going to look at this idea. We see this colt here. We see that he's tied to this place. But yet, all of a sudden, we notice that there's two ways that came in directly to where this colt was. Say, what was these two ways? What's important about these two ways? Well, we know that the disciples had come from one of these two directions. We either know they came from the right side or they came from the left side. And say, well, what's important about that? Why does it matter whether they came from the right side or they came from the left side? There had to be a choice in this colt's life. We see that this colt has come by and he's loosed and he's let go. Well, this colt has two ways he can run. He can either run this way or he can run that way. That was the colt's choice. Say, what are the two directions? We know the disciples came from this way. That's where God was. And if we know that God's this way, then we know God's not that way. Say, how am I going to be able to be used by God? We have to choose. We have to have a choice of saying, God's this way and the world's that way. Boy, man, I could make a lot more money over here. I could be more, have more like material things here. I could have the things I thought I wanted. Or, man, I could lose all that and just go toward God. Say, which way is it going to do? This is not a great part of my life. I don't like necessarily mentioning yet. I'm ashamed of what it was. And the thing is, I went to church. I got saved about 13. And the thing was, I never really left church. I was always in church. But boy, for a little time there, I wasn't in church. I came to church. I sang in the choir. I did the things that you were supposed to do in church. But yeah, I was not in church. God had commanded me. He told me. And as I was growing up, I was getting close to graduation while I was doing dual enrollment in college. Well, I had enough credits to be able to graduate early. And everybody seemed like that was a good idea, and it seemed like it was going to work out fine. But there was one thing that was wrong with that plan, was that God told me no. He said, don't do it. He said, don't graduate early. Well, as I went through, it seemed like everybody was on board with it. And man, how the devil works in his way. I remember the idea he twists the Bible to be able to get his will out of it. I remember going through and I thought, man, I had this plan, and I looked out and saw, man, how much could I gain? I could get a year head start on college. I could be able to get a good job. I could get the car I want. I could get whatever it was. I can get all these material things. Well, then the devil twisted in my heart and said, well, all you have to do is get your parents to think it's a good idea. Because then if your parents tell you what to do, you're just obeying the Bible. You're just obeying your parents. The devil twists the scriptures. So if you can get your parents on board, they're telling you to do it. Not you. The parents are telling you, you have to obey them if you're going to obey the Bible. So my parents looked at it and said, well, that does look promising. That does look good. So yeah, sure, we'll do that. But boy, in my heart, I knew that's not where I was supposed to be. And man, I went for about 2 years of time where, again, and it did not take long, probably about a month or two in it, I said, Lord, I'm in the wrong here. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be around these people. I knew I was not supposed to be there. But boy, I went through a time where I was still in church and I was there. But boy, I could have had such a different life plan at that point, but yet I had to go through. And the funny thing about this plan was I thought I could get ahead in college, and I finally got ahead and I graduated, and then I walked up to the program. They said, you're too young to join. You have to wait a full year before you can join. All that work, all that preparation I did was immediately crushed by saying, you're too young. You can't do this. And thank God that when I was able to run back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. He said, it's okay. I still love you anyways. Thank God tonight. When I say I'm unworthy to be here tonight, God should have left me out and said, you know what? If you want the money, if you want the college, if you want this, you can have it. But thank God, God came by and said, yeah, that was not a good thing for you to do, but I still love you anyways. Thank the Lord for that. But yet, there has to be a choice of how am I going to be able to use my God? First of all, you have to be saved. Second of all, you have to choose to say, yeah, sometimes the world looks promising, and yeah, I might offer more money and more things I thought I want. I'd rather go with God. I might lose all those things that the world says I must have. I might lose that American dream, but I'd rather go with God. There had to be a step of a change, a step of a choice. The third thing that we'll look at here was not only was there a change, a choice, but there was a step of a covering. So as we see this colt comes through, and we see that as he's being brought to Jesus, they loose him, they go toward Jesus. Well, then all of a sudden something odd happens in this text. Reading verse 7 is this. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. They cast their garments on him. Say, why did they cast their garments on him? And as I begin to study this, something interesting that came up, and for just a second, we'll flip over to Matthew chapter 21, And we'll read a verse out of it just real quick. Matthew chapter 21, and it'll be in verse, well, we'll read in verse 1, Matthew 21, in verse 1, and it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then said Jesus to disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you." And this is the interesting part here that we see. It says, "And straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her." Well, that's odd. From the story we've been reading, it never mentioned that there was a donkey along with this colt. It just mentioned the colt. Say, what was this covering about? Well, as we see, this colt gets brought up, was about to be able to be used by God. But there had to be a covering first. And so they got that colt. They covered over him. Say, why did they cover that colt? Because it wasn't about the colt. It never was. What Jesus was about to do was to ride through town, and everybody was ready to see Jesus. But the thing is, they had to cover up the colt, because everybody was not supposed to be looking at the colt. And if you say, how am I going to be able to be used by God? We have to learn to say, it's not about me. It's not about me. Say, I'll cover myself up. Say, man, who was the one who cleaned the church? Who was the one who went and fasted for this meeting? It doesn't matter. The thing is, so often we get caught up and said, look at what I have done. Look at how I've done this, or how I came up and did that. But instead, if we'll just cover ourselves and say, it's not about me, we'll be able to be used by God. A step of a change, a step of a choice, a step of a covering. And then we're going to see this, a step of a carrying. This is the idea of where this covering comes into play. It says, "And they brought to Jesus," in verse 7, it says, "And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him." And then it said this idea, "And he sat upon him. And then it says, "And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of Lord, or of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Say, how am I going to be able to be used by God? Well, first of all, you have to be saved. Second of all, you have to choose to say, I'm going with God no matter what. Third of all, you have to say, it's not about me. I'll be covered. I'll be less important so God can be important. Say, well, not only was there a covering, there had to be a carrying. So now as we see this colt come through, we see that he has come through. He's tried to serve God. He got loose from his chains of this world. He's gone there. He got covered up. Then all of a sudden we see that the colt starts carrying Jesus. And the thing is, as that colt went through the town, nobody was looking at it, but everybody was looking at Jesus. So this is what's important. So how am I going to be able to be used by God? You have to get to a place where you can cover yourself and say, I am worth nothing. But yet, he is worth everything. Say, man, how has your week been going? Well, it's been going pretty good. Can I tell you why? Because there's this man named Jesus who changed my life. Say, what do you mean? Say, when times come and times get hard, say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill. You know what we're going to keep on doing? Saying, this is what's important. Say, man, next time a problem comes my way and says, man, I've had this health problems and I'm not trying to overshare. I have a surgery coming up in a few months and just something that we have to get done before Albania. And boy, I could sit there and say, man, how am I going to make it through the surgery? We're going to have to pay all this money for the surgery. I have to stay in the hospital overnight. I have to pay all these bills. Or I could say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. But I can tell you what I do know, that Jesus loves you. This is the most important thing I could ever do in caring. Say, how am I going to be able to be used by God? Say, not only do I need to be covered, I need to carry Jesus. Say, how can I do that practically? Go every day. As you see people, as you live their life, say, what can I do? Man, this problem comes up. Jesus is what's important. Say, man, how are you going to get through this? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But man, he's everything to me. He's provided for me time and time again. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the next trial, but I know he got me through the last one, so I'm just going to keep on believing and say he is the answer. There's a step of a change, a step of a choice, a step of a covering, a step of a carrying. And then the last step that we're going to see here, say, how can I be used by God? Again, remember, the Lord hath need of you tonight. There's people in this room tonight that God wants to use. I like this idea as we go through. I'm here in this town, and I guess what you would consider Spokane or this area today. Today's the day I'm here. And as we drove through town, man, there's stores, there's restaurants, there's gas stations. There's things all over this town. And today I'm here. Today I might be able to go preach the gospel to somebody. Today I might be able to reach somebody. But tomorrow I can't. Next week, next month when I'm back in South Carolina, I cannot preach to the people here. In the same way, as we go through, God called us to Albania. There's people in Albania I can preach to, that I can talk to, but yet here I can't. So, well, what's important about that? You can. The thing is, I might go to one gas station while I'm here in town, but you know what? You go to that gas station all the time. And you might go to a different gas station than I go to. And as much as I would want to see the lady behind the counter who's ringing up the stuff saved, I cannot do that. But you can. God has need of you. I can't reach them because I'm not going to be here much longer. A few more hours and I'll be out of this town, maybe possibly for the rest of this year or the rest of my life. I'm not sure. But you're here. God has need of you. So the last step that we see here as we're finishing up, so not only was there a step of a change, you have to be a saved, a step of a choice. You must choose to go with God, a step of a covering, saying it's not about me, a step of a caring, saying Jesus is the most important thing, and he's high and lifted up and exalted. So what's the last thing I can do to be able to be used by God? There has to be a step of continuing. We read in verse 11, it says, and Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple. Say, what's important about that? Jesus entered in this place. Well, the thing was, this colt was the way he got there. They said they strawed the trees. They laid out their garments in the road. This colt carried Jesus to those places. So when it said that, he had to continue through. And one thing I started thinking about, and boy, man, it's sometimes true in our lives. We look at this colt, and it's very important that he put that part of the scripture in that said, never man sat upon. Again, we have to think that this worldly master owned this colt. If he was of use, he most likely would have been used. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is this colt in this picture was not strong enough to carry a full man's weight. He was not prepared enough. He was not old enough, whatever it was. But yet never a man has sat upon this colt. So what are you saying? Man, as that colt got covered up and he started carrying Jesus, his legs were probably not strong enough. He probably wasn't sturdy enough. Every step he took was probably a struggle. But yet somehow Jesus got to the temple. Yet somehow Jesus got through. Say, how are we going to be able to serve God? Just keep on continuing. Say, man, times get hard. And boy, I don't think I'm going to make it. Boy, my legs get sturdy. Say, well, just one more step. Maybe I can tell one more person about Jesus. And that was a hard step. But boy, man, Jesus needs to get there. Man, that sinner's right there. Man, if I could just go one more step, maybe he could hear about Jesus. Maybe one more step, and I can tell the next one. Maybe one more step, and that family doesn't have to go to hell. Maybe one more step, and maybe they can truly hear that somebody loves them. Say, how are we going to be able to be used by God? Just keep on going. Say, preacher, I've done all those things. I've got saved. I've tried my best to choose God over everything, to go his direction. I've tried to make myself small. I've tried to make him the most important thing in my life. Say, what can I do to serve God? Say, just keep going. It's hard sometimes. It's a lot of weight. But yet, just keep on going to say, hey, man, I've been going through a hard time, but he's helped me a lot. And if you're going through a hard time, he can help you a lot too. Say tonight as we're finishing up, God hath need of you. Is there anybody in this place tonight say, man, I know God hath need of me. I just want to be used by God. Say, I just want God to help me be used by him. I just want God to help me. The Lord hath need of you. And Pastor, I'll pray and you can come up here and dismiss or whatever. And thank y'all again so much for allowing us to be here. Again, it's been such a joy to be with y'all. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God.